Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Faith towards God is what we're talking about today. So, Tasha, because we're going to advance this kingdom. We've been talking about trials and tests that we're going through. So, give me, Tasha, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Can you give me verse 4 and 5? Yeah. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Hold still. You see, Paul was admonishing the Thessalonian church. look what he says. That we ourselves, they're boasting about this church because they were doing some things right. They were doing it right. Now watch. Churches of God, for your patience and faith, in all your what? Persecutions and tribulations. Folks, we're going to be persecuted and we're going to have tribulations, trouble. Remember? That's what tribulations are. It's trouble. And trouble really brings out the best in you when you understand. When you understand tribulations and trouble and difficulty, it's come to make you grow and help you be stable in your faith. It's testing your faith. Now watch. And you can endure. God's trying to build endurance in you. Now watch. So that we ourselves boast of you, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom. Worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. What you're going through, the trials, the tests, the trivia, all that, really, I want to be worthy. How about you? What's the word worthy mean? Remember? Fitting. It means fitting. It means to match. In other words, to match. To match. In other words, I want to match what's going on in heaven. And when I match that, I'm advancing God's kingdom here. Are you with me? I fit up there. What I'm doing fits up there. Now I'm bringing it here. I'm bringing heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. On earth as it is in heaven. You see that? If you're going through anything, that's helping you to stay worthy, and God's trying to develop you so you can advance God's kingdom. Yeah. You see, the kingdom won't advance without tests and trials. If there's no tests, there won't be any king. You know what? If you don't want tests and trials, you don't want any trouble, you don't want any of that, just do nothing. Just do nothing. If you don't want to know who you are and that doesn't matter to you, just do nothing and go be something you were never created to be. But if you want to be what God designed you to be and what God created you to be and have a purpose in life and a vision, you see, when you have a purpose in life, it's because you have a vision. When you have a vision, now you can see. And now you can really help other people. Am I making sense? That's really what purpose is all about. Everything you've gone through in life is your purpose. And so now you need a vision to make it clear to other people. Are you listening to me? So you can help other people. You got to have that swapsy in place. Remember we talked about last week, fiery trials we're going through? And the heat. Heat, we're going to be tested by fire. Go with 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. The word begotten literally means born again. If you've been born again, you've been born again to a living hope. to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, give me the next one. And to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Next one. Who are kept. The word kept there means protected. You are protected by the power of God. That swap seat's in place. Did you hear what I just said? The swap seat's in place. It's invisible. It's protecting you and what matters most to you because you're in the faith. Did you hear what I said? Now watch. We're being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in these last times. In this, you should greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Anybody been grieved by trials? You know what? It's time to get your head up and don't be grieving. These trials have come to help me be a better and stronger person. Without tests, you can't get any strength. You need strength to pass tests. You need strength to fulfill the call on your life. You need strength to advance God's kingdom. Amen? Mary keeps saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. She's coming out of that place on Tuesday. I believe because of that very thing right there. She has that scripture right on. The joy of the Lord is my strength. She has that and she looks at it every day. When we leave, we say bye. She says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I said, well, praise God. You hearing me? That's what is her strength. And we all need strength. You know, car dealers or car manufacturers, when they make a car, a new car, and they get a new, and they have a new engine, okay, this engine that they're going to put in this new car, they test it. They have a track, and they'll test that one engine. They'll run it around the track. They have a pilot, and they have a prototype, and they test that engine for that car round and round, and they at highest speeds, 150, if it goes to 150 miles an hour, they run it 150 miles an hour for a long time. And if it doesn't break down and fall apart, they make 300,000 of them. This is how manufacturers work, building cars. Because it passed the test, they make a lot of others. You see, listen to me. Some of you have gone through things, and you're going through tests. And you're being tested. Now, God's, in other words, God's, when they make those up, the 300,000, they want to make it just, they don't have to run no more tests on it. They want to make it in the image of the one they tested. Did you hear me? And so that's the way it is. You have gone through things, and you got, God wants to use you. God's going to use you to help others into the kingdom, and they're going to use you as the image. You're going to be the image, but it's Christ is the image in you. And as that gets developed, it's going to be reproduced in your life. Did you hear me? Because you're going to be tested. You're the one that's being tested. Jesus said to Peter, he said in Luke 22, he said, I'm praying for you, Peter, because Satan has said, I want to sift you. Satan wants to sift you. You're going to be tested now. And Jesus said, I'm praying that your faith doesn't fail. So afterward, you can strengthen the brethren. After all those tests, after everything that you've been through, you're going to be able to strengthen other people. Did you hear what I just said? We're looking at 1 Peter right now. We're being strengthened by what he, are you listening to me? Because he passed the test. The image, we're looking at what Peter done. Are you catching that? Are you catching what I just said? We're looking at it right now and we're being encouraged by it. We're being strengthened by it. And that's what God wants to do with your life. You're going to go through things. You're going to be tested, but you're going to pass the test, and you're going to be able to help strengthen other people with what you've gone through. Making sense? Without those tests, you're not going to help anybody. You're just aimlessly wandering out there. Amen? We need the test. We need to be trial. That's what temptation is. There's no temptation. You know what the word temptation means? Trial or test. So there's no trial or test such as common to man. Temptation is common. Everybody on the planet gets tempted and tried every day. So when we understand this, there's no temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted or tried beyond what you're able, but with the trial or test will make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. bear it. Are you with me? You can endure no matter what you're going to go through if you stay focused on Christ. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? Now, let's look at this. Go with me to go with me to 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 real quick. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the what? The fiery trial. There's that fire again. The heat. The fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened. It's not strange to be tested by fire, by heat. That's common. You see, that's what he's saying. That's what that word strange means, foreign. It's not foreign. This is common, right? Don't think it's strange. This is common for us because we're advancing God's kingdom. Making sense? Now look, fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. So it's not strange. Now give me 19 real quick. What was the next one there? Give me 13 real quick. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. We're supposed to be rejoicing that we're going through these trials because we're going through the things that Christ suffered. And now, because look at the influence Christ has had. Look what it's going to do to us. It's going to help our influence. What matters most to us, we're going to be able to help others. You're going to be able to help your kids because you're willing to pass some tests. If you don't want to pass any tests, they're not going to want to pass any tests. They're not going to want any trials. Are you with me? But when you are willing to hang in there and you're willing to stand it up, they will go through it. But you have to be the one to show them. Now watch this. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. Remember? Remember I said honor? Remember we talked about honor last week? You know, husbands should honor their wives and wives should honor their husbands. Remember, that takes submission. When I'm doing the will of God and I'm submitting to God, I'm submitting to God when I submit to my husband and serve my husband. I'm submitting to God when I submit to my wife and serve my wife. I'm honoring them. See, when you honor that person, you bring the best out of that person. Remember in Mark 6, they didn't honor Jesus and they didn't get the miracles that he was there for. They didn't get the miracles because they wouldn't honor him. Only a couple, but thousands of people there needed a miracle, but they didn't get it because they wouldn't honor him. When you honor that person, you get the best out of that person. You pull the best out of them. That's why you shouldn't be in strife and arguing and fighting who's the boss and whatever. You need to come to agreement and honor each other and serve each other, and now you're bringing the best. That's why people are always upset all the time because they don't want to honor. Did you hear what I said? When you don't, that's because you're resisting what God is trying to help you understand. When you won't submit, see, marriage is all about a mission. A mission. You see that? Marriage is a mission. When you join that marriage, I'm in a mission now. I have to serve under his mission to fulfill this calling on my life. And now I'm going to honor them and pull out the best out of them. You see that? And when I honor them, now I'm the reciprocator. Now I get the best out of Donita. She gets the best out of me. Are you with me? And now we both share in that. I don't always feel like opening the door. I don't always feel like that. But when I do, it affects the atmosphere at home. Are you with me? I had all kinds of stuff going on this week. I kept on, man. I'm serving. Right. And I'll tell you what, I had the presence of God in my house. Amen. Are you with me? When people are watching your life, you're going to get calls. You don't understand where they're coming from. You have to stay focused because people are watching your life. And if you just fall apart and just, well, I don't feel like it today. Well, you see, now you're letting everything down. Are you listening to me? Abide in me. Teach me, Lord, to abide. That's abiding. When you're abiding, that means to take up residence. When I take up residence in him, I'm going to submit. I'm going to honor other people. The Bible says honor all people. Honor all. When we honor people, we want to create a culture here that honors people, honors everyone. We want to honor each other. Everybody that walks in that door, we ought to honor them. It pulls out the best in them. And that's what we want to do. Because if we don't, then we'll get mad and strife and fight. And then that's, you know what that does? That invites the enemy into your life. Give me verse 19 real quick. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing what? Good. As to a faithful creator. You see, when we keep doing the right thing, we're serving our creator. You keep doing the right thing in your marriage, with your children, you're serving the creator. You're going to get pushed back. You're going to get resistance. But you got to know who you are. You got to know why you're here. Am I making sense? Go with me to Acts chapter 27 there. Paul was going through some tests and trials, okay? Now, Paul was a prisoner only for preaching the gospel. Remember, he was in Philippian jail. He said, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. You know, he was always advancing God's kingdom. And so he's a prisoner. Now, he's a prisoner in this, getting ready to get on this boat. Now, think about this. This boat was a grain boat. And a wheat. It carried wheat and grain. It would be like our boats in there. It's very similar to the Hormuz, that place where all the ships go through and the oil and everything goes through, all the cargo goes through. It's very similar to that. And the Roman government gave the ships that carried the grain and the wheat special privileges. And so this centurion said, we're going to get on a grain ship so we can get to Rome safely. Now think about this. The centurion was the authority, the guard over Paul. Paul was a prisoner. Now they're getting ready to get on this ship. I'm trying to give you a backstory. Are you paying attention now? And so they're headed for the Hormuz. Not really, but this we're using that as in modern day. But this is very much like it, because the Roman government was controlling things. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already over. They had been fasting because they're getting ready to go on this journey. They had been fasting, and because Paul was leading these people to fast, these other prisoners and these people getting on this boat. Now watch. Because the fast was over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss. Now, this word perceive means past experience. So in other words, Paul knew from his past experience, his past trials, the past things he went through in the past, there's going to be trouble. You see that? Paul was always in touch with God. Now think about this. And Paul was the prisoner. Now he's telling them, men, I perceive. Paul was the prisoner, but you know, really he ended up being the captain. You better pay attention. I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. Next verse. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. The centurion did not listen to Paul. Did you hear what I said? The centurion did not listen to Paul. He listened to the majority. Now watch. Paul was giving him what God was saying, but he was listening to the majority. Now, and because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also. And if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and the northeast, and winter there. Next verse. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. Now, give me the next one. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. Euroclydon means northeastern wind. That was where the worst winds and the worst storms come out of the northeast. Now, so when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This ship, they were in a storm. Now, think about this. And it was because they listened to the centurion. They didn't listen to Paul. They didn't listen to Paul. Paul had the will of God and the word of God, but they listened to the centurion and the majority. And now they ended up in this worse storm than they would have been. Now listen, sometimes we get ourselves into storms. Sometimes we get ourselves into storms and difficulties for the same reasons: impatience and accepting advice of the majority rather than listening to God and his will and his word. Are you catching this? They listened to the majority that was contrary to God's will. That's why they ended up in that storm. It pays to listen to what God is saying. Now watch. Give me verse 20. 27:20. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, for 3 days, they were in total darkness. And no small tempest beat on us. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. They finally gave up hope. Are you listening to me? They're all giving up hope. They were in despair because of this storm they were in. They just thought, this is it, we're going to die. A crisis does not make a person. A crisis shows what a person is made of. Did you hear what I just said? They were in a crisis. A crisis does not make a person, but a crisis shows what a person is made of. But after long absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart." That means keep your vision. Take heart means keep your vision. Don't lose heart. Take heart. It also means joy. Keep your joy. Take heart. You have strength and joy. Are you with me? Now, for there will be no loss of life. Now, this is Paul talking. But only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. That's what he's saying to us. We don't have anything to be afraid of, nothing to fear on what's going on in this world and the trials we're facing and all we're facing right now. We have nothing to be afraid of. Are you listening to me? That's what he's saying. Watch. You must be brought. Now, what he's saying is, you must be brought to Caesar. In other words, Paul, you're going to have to go to this trial. He has to go to a trial in Rome and go to the court in Rome and in front of Caesar. That's why I'm going to help you make it through. God is helping him. Now watch. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Now look at this next verse. Therefore, take heart. Don't lose your vision. Keep your joy. Men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. He's saying, I believe God and what he has said to me. Right. And that's what he's pronouncing right there. Are you listening to me? And they're now listening to him. Paul was really taking leadership on that ship. Now he's leading because nobody else was taking leadership. He was taking leadership. Now think about this. Now, give me verse 34, if you would. Now look what Paul does. Paying attention? Look what he does. This is in the middle of this storm. It's subsided some, but it's still going on. Now look. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. Look at this next one. Give me the next one. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God. Now here he is in this storm. He takes this bread and gives thanks to God. Are you catching this? His faith towards God in the middle of this storm. That's what Paul was doing. He's a man of God, and he's using his faith in the middle of this storm, in this trial. He took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Look at the next one. Then they were all what? Encouraged. They were all encouraged in the storm. They said, man, we can make it. This one man, when one man will turn towards God in faith, he can affect everybody around him. Are you this? You know what? This is talking about you and your family. When you will take courage and you will be the one to put your faith towards God, you're going to encourage the others, your children, your family, that it's going to be all right. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? You're the one to take the faith towards God. Now, that's what he's talking about right there. Now, watch. They were all encouraged and also took food for themselves. Now, watch. Give me the next one. And in all were 276 persons on the ship. And you know what? They began to celebrate. Isn't that something? When one person will put his faith towards God, it helped everybody. Come on. That's what that's saying. You can help people when you do this, when you turn your faith towards God in a difficult place. Now, give me the next one. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. They're getting rid of stuff, getting rid of tackle, making it lighter. The weight, remember? The swap sea. Size, weight, right? Approval, performance, constraints. The swap sea has to be in place. We got to get rid of some. This is too heavy. The weight isn't right. We got to get it under inspect in the constraints. Are you with me? Now watch. Give me the next one. When it was day, look, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. Now, give me verse 43. But the centurion, now look at him, Mr. Big Stuff, trying to run the show. Now he's looking to Paul. He don't want Paul to be thrown over and drowned. He's protecting Paul. Because he's a man, we've listened to him. He's got, I got to listen to him. He's helping us. Now watch. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. But they didn't do that. They didn't listen to him. Now look, now watch. Next verse. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. The ship was falling apart. They grabbed pieces of the ship and got them all to land. Now watch. And it was that they all escaped safely to land. Not one of them drowned because of what Paul declared over them. Did you hear what I said? Because his faith went towards God.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.